Good evening and welcome to Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm Angel Adames Corraliza, professor in Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. With me is my colleague and co-host, Professor Mayra Oyola Merced. Tonight, we are going to be talking about turbulence. It's something almost everybody that has ever flown on a commercial aircraft has experienced. Anything from a gentle shake to very sudden and sometimes even violent jolts. A few weeks ago, if you've been following the news, we saw that a Delta flight going from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam hit some pretty strong turbulence over Wyoming. 25 people were hospitalized before the plane landed in Minneapolis. So tonight we're going to have a chat about turbulence. What is turbulence? Is it becoming more common? What types of turbulence are out there? And how is climate change and the research that is being performed here at UW-Madison helping us understand turbulence and its risks? So without any further ado, Mayra, let's start with that Delta flight. What happened?
So I want to preface this. This is one of my favorite topics, not the fact that we're talking about turbulence or accidents, but this is part of my research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So just talking about that Delta flight, that was Delta Flight 56, cruising at about 37,000 feet when it suddenly hit severe turbulence, likely something that we call clear air turbulence, and we'll explain soon what that is in a second. So what happened, passengers were thrown from their seats, there were meal carts that hit the ceiling, and about 25 people were injured. The plane had to divert to Minneapolis, but fortunately everybody survived and everybody is well. The incident is actually a reminder that turbulence is not just something that's uncomfortable, but it can be dangerous, especially if there are unbuckled passengers and crew.
So you just mentioned like these bumps and like the danger and what happened, the people got injured. So what is turbulence?
So we can think about turbulence as, especially when we're thinking about the sky or the air, at these layers of rapidly moving air. If we, for example, think about the traffic on the Beltline, we can think that we have cars. So let's imagine the cars are actually little air parcels or air masses that are in different lanes and or in the same lane, and one is going faster than the other. Sometimes these lanes, you have accidents sometimes in the Beltline and in the atmosphere. Sometimes we have these masses bump or rub against each other. So these cause little swirls or waves, technically just like ponds or little currents in a river when the water meets. So sometimes these swirls or these little bumps get big enough. So if there's an airplane flying through that, the airplane can actually detect them, and that's what we call turbulence. So sometimes we have really strong bumps that happen in certain areas of the atmosphere, for example, close to what we call the jet stream, which is a very strong air of wind that it's normally, especially over the U.S. And sometimes we just have different temperature changes or pressure changes that happen very rapidly, and that can cause these disturbances.
So an analogy that I just thought of while you were talking about turbulence was a river rapid, when like you have a kayaker going down a rapid and you have all these whirls and
exactly.
All these things. That's a good analogy as well. Great. So thinking about stemming from this thought, right? So we have this idea of how turbulence is like. You mentioned that earlier that the incident was potentially a clear air turbulence event. So and you mentioned that this is a type of turbulence. Mm-hmm. So what types of turbulence are out there? And what is so unique about clear air?
So there are several types of turbulence mechanisms. We can think about of them, and they are named based on what caused them. One of them is mechanical turbulence. That is basically when we have either terrains or mountains. So obviously we can think about the air going around these boundaries. They're going to move all over the place. So if the listeners have ever flown over, for example, Denver or Colorado, you could only imagine that it gets bumpy because you have lots of mountains, and that's an example of mechanical turbulence. There's convective turbulence, and probably that's the easiest one to recognize. Obviously, we have severe weather, or we have clouds. If we get there, or inside or near storms, that's going to definitely cause some turbulence. There is also wake turbulence, and that happens when airplanes are flying. So it's kind of like that swirling behind airplanes, and there are rules to prevent that. So airplanes cannot fly too close to each other because of that reason. But the one that we're talking about today, it's more, it's a clear air turbulence type. We call it CAT, not to confuse with the animal, meow. It's not that. So clear air turbulence, basically what it names implies, it happens undetected. So there's no presence of clouds, storms on radars. And because of that, it is the most dangerous one because pilots cannot really detect it, and it's very hard to forecast.
So this is what's really interesting, right? Because I think all the other forms of turbulence, I think you can intuitively kind of think about, right? When you have mechanical turbulence, you can't imagine like something hitting a rough surface and like causing like whirls, like the river, you know, hitting like a big rock, and like clouds, you can imagine, yeah, like thunderstorms, they look like they would be turbulent, right? And same with like wake, you know, if you're ever in traffic in a car, you know, passes by you really fast, you can feel that swirling air, like that hitting you if you're like sitting and waiting, right? And so CAT is the one that's like seems like different. And maybe, you know, that's maybe what makes it somewhat interesting, right? And perhaps what makes it also like challenging, not just to understand, but also for the dangers that it poses.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard a lot, you know, recently, news articles, a lot of things have been happening. I've seen a lot of the news, accidents, turbulence related stuff happening. Some of them are scary sounding. And it makes you wonder, right? What's going on? Are there more events happening recently in the last couple decades? Or is it just because we're just seeing more news articles and because there's just more internet news on it?
That's an excellent question, and I want to make the distinction between numbers of accidents on airplanes. Airplane traveling, I want to make that caveat right now. Airplane traveling is safe overall. And yes, we see a lot of these other accidents that have to do, for example, something that happened yesterday with mechanical issues or infrastructure issues with aircraft. Those happen because we're flying a lot more. When you look at the number of incidents compared to the actual number of flights, the percentage is really, really small. Now, when it comes to weather and specifically clear air turbulence, we are seeing a trend, and that is really increasing. There's a 2023 study that found that moderate to severe turbulence has increased about 55% over the last four decades. That is something that we actually study in our research group. We have conducted studies over 40 years of data, just looking at how the weather patterns that we know are connected with clear air turbulence have changed over the last 40 years, and we can definitely say with certainty that yes, all of the indicators for clear air turbulence are there, and the occurrence of these are increasing.
Can you give us like a slight hint of what you're finding? Why is it increasing?
One of the main reasons is changes in temperature, so climate change. Because of that, we have areas of stronger jet streams. I mentioned before the jet stream, which is basically a very strong atmospheric, it's almost like a river winds, strong winds in the upper atmosphere. The position of the jet stream has changed, and there are portions of the jet stream that are weakening and strengthening both. But the areas that are strengthening, so they happen close to some of the most important flight corridors. So in that way, we are experiencing the impact of climate and climate change directly in aviation weather.
So you're saying then that so that it's not part of what's going on is that the turbulent regions where turbulence happens most frequently is actually moving closer to the areas where most commercial airlines pass. What are examples of like these popular corridors?
Yeah. Over the United States, we can think about the Northeast. So you can think about Newark. I'm going to talk about states. So New York, D.C., all of the East Coast. Obviously, the Midwest. We sit on the on an area that's actually heavily impacted by the jet stream, and we know this because we get a lot of snowstorms over the winter, and a lot of them are triggered by the jet stream. So we've seen changes, particularly in the Midwest, more specifically over Chicago, Minneapolis, Madison. And we have reports of turbulence linked to rapidly changing weather systems over this region.
Okay, that's really, really something. And for me, for example, I'm somebody who, you know, I like airplanes, but I'm one of those people who irrationally gets nervous when there's turbulence, especially really intense turbulence. And I know that this is largely irrational, right? But I think it's still important to ask the question about how people can stay safe in under turbulence, for example.
Yes, and that's a great question. And again, I want to reiterate, commercial flying is safe. Obviously, specifically with clear air turbulence, it's very hard to forecast and, again, very hard to detect. We're doing our best to improve forecasting and detection. But the best thing for passengers is to always keep your seatbelt fastened, especially when you're seated. If you need to walk around the cabin, that's fine, but make sure that you secure your belongings, and that is the actual best technology out there, is to actually fasten your seatbelt when you're in flight.
So essentially just follow instructions, right? Because when you're on the plane, you usually just see the seatbelt sign on, and they tell you, like, if you're sitting down, just put your seatbelt on.
Follow the instructions of the captain. They know what they're doing, and if they turn on that seatbelt sign, you just need to follow.
Yeah, I will make, I will not make a joke, but I was like spoken like somebody who has captain in her heart.
I do have captain in my heart, and I'm a big aviator and a student pilot. So
I think that kind of like asks, these are probably most of the main questions.